Okay, call the IJ board meeting to order at 6:08 Mountain Standard Time. That's 8:08 Eastern Time. Tim first. Roll call. Not here, I believe. Joyce Howard.
Here.
Tim Laird.
Here.
Jerry Martin said he might come in a little late. Jim Maxwell.
Here.
Bob Newman.
Here.
And Katja is not going to be here tonight. She had another thing to do. Let's see. No one listed as approval of the agenda. There's no actual action items tonight on the agenda. I've got various items listed as reports, but basically it's just discussion. They're not so much so formal as reports. But I have them there because I don't intend to act on anything tonight. Obviously, that could change, but that's the reason I wrote it the way I did. If you haven't looked lately, I did put a couple bullet items to talk. Basically, it's the festival, overall operations, including the IJ store, competitions and championships, book publishing, and juggle are the five things I had as topics. Other than that, any statements, questions on agendas? In that case, I'd like to request that the agenda be passed by unanimous consent. Is anyone dissent? Hearing nothing, agenda approved. Previous minutes. Any comments on the minutes?
A couple spelling errors. I don't know if that makes a big deal. The word education was misspelled. Probably my fault.
What was misspelled?
Education.
Okay. That's a good one.
Well, what's wrong with that? Didn't they taught you right?
No, no. And
okay.
There was another word within that blurb about the education, and I, off the top of my head, I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
Aligning. I see it. I can fix those.
Okay.
I actually haven't looked at it for a while. I remember looking at it right after the meeting and thinking it was okay.
Okay, I'll fix those right now, as a matter of fact.
Any other comments on the agenda, on the minutes for the November 17th meeting? In that case, I'd again request that the minutes be passed by unanimous consent. Any opposition? Minutes approved. On to reports, which will be kind of loosely done as reports. There'll be a bunch of topics we discuss. The order here is not set in stone, but we'll go with it for now. The festival, I talked to Katja today. Things appear to be somewhat on track. One thing that we don't have is a definitive budget. We're going to have to make pricing decisions here fairly shortly. So that's something we'll need to do. We need to put the flyer out. All of this probably within the next month, i.e. before the next board meeting, we'll probably finalize those things. So I assume we'll do it on the website. Speaking of which, did a poll on the camping to the board. Unfortunately, we only had 4 out of 7 of us respond. I'm assuming that was regard to doing the camping or not. Unless somebody at this moment has dramatic reason to continuing the camping, I'm assuming it's not going to happen at Portland. We need to, in the future, be a little more verbose in answering the polls. I think those people who did, but we do need, if I'm going to be a little upset if there were a bunch of people wanting to support it and it just didn't happen, but nonetheless, it doesn't matter if I'm upset. But at any rate, at this point I talked to Andrew Conway about the indoor camping. He said he probably doesn't have time to head it up. I don't think anyone else was going to do it. Looks kind of like a marginable, questionable thing. I'm guessing we're going to let it drop now. If anyone isn't okay with that or wants to discuss it some more, do so now. moving on. We'll open up a rideshare and update our site to reflect that then. We look like we may get Jerome Tolme, if I pronounced his name right, as a guest. We may get someone else. I don't know. It hasn't been finalized yet. Katja is talking about doing a large show rather than having a special show, trying to make a really good show on Friday night rather than two shows on Friday and Saturday night. So she's experimenting with that. If so, that will change our price structure a little. And on Saturday night, she's thinking of having a more informal type get-together.
Are we planning on having midnight shows again?
I assume so. I don't know of anyone actively planning it at the moment, though.
Okay.
At this moment, though, I don't think it requires much planning, because my understanding is we have the stage. And so the same stage that we use for everything else, we can use for the midnight show on any night that we want a midnight show.
Well, I think I may touch base with Tim since he's not here and just let him know, because he was a very active participant last year, because I think he drew in some people who were very reluctant to get involved, and that, you know, ego thing just may jump into here again. So I think a heads up might be worth the effort just to let everyone know that, you know, yes, we are going to do it, and boy, we should, because, you know, we could sure use the help again kind of thing.
Right.
Rather than assume they're going to do it because, that, you know, I don't know.
I'm not actually assuming anyone will do it. The one thing I was assuming was that because we already have a space,
yeah,
it's not a time crunch issue.
Well, I understand that, but, I mean, it's one of those organizational issues that, you know, Tim did jump in last year and take a lot of the organization and draw some people in to sign up and stuff. And I mean, just, and again, like I said, I don't know how important it is, but it, you know, I think people expect a midnight show, so we need to kind of plan it too, just along with the festival.
Yeah, I didn't actually discuss it with Katja. It may be that she's already pursued
those. Great. Yeah.
I have to admit that I often don't go to the midnight show, so I just kind of totally spaced it. But, yes, I agree.
Okay, well, if it's okay, I'll touch base with Tim and see what's going on.
By all means.
Okay.
The real answer is post it on the forums.
Yeah, well.
You know. If you want to touch base with them first, privately, fine. But this is something which should be posted.
Okay.
Hey, what are we doing on midnight shows? And discuss it either in the festival, I mean, there is a specific festival forum, which would probably be the better place, or even under the general. Any other questions about the festival? We're going to go back to it on the championships and competitions, which is what I'll go to now. Talking with Katja, she's indicating that she would not mind seeing some team, committee, some sort of structure, somebody in charge of the various competitions and championships and coordinating them. It's kind of the bigger issue here. Well, part of the issue here is Dan Holzman contacted me and Katja and stated that he would be interested in running kind of everything, all the competitions and all the shows, under the theory that if one person was organizing it all, they could do a more coherent job. Now, I have some problems with his thing. For one thing, he wasn't offering to do it for free. I don't know exactly how much he was going to charge, but there was a definite fee he wanted. And second of all, he didn't say what kind of changes he was going to make. So until I know that, I'm not going to approve it personally. But nonetheless, there is some talk about some various changes in the competition format, video prelims being one of them. some of them are more extreme, something to differentiate the prop competition from the stage competition. Several different ideas were suggested there. And the real question is, Jack Calvin came forward with a rather detailed plan of things he would like to see done. What I told Jack is I said, well, I'm not sure who has the authority, whose decision it is to make those changes or not. And so does anyone have an answer to that question, or what do people think?
Well, are we, this is Jim, are we going under the assumption that Craig Barnes is going to continue as championships director?
Well, Craig Barnes, I'm going to assume for now, although it's not a certainty, but I'm going to assume that Craig Barnes is the stage championship, stage competition coordinator. Okay? However, that's not to say that what, some effort needs to be made to make sure that what Craig does is consistent and doesn't overlap too much with what, I guess the issue I think comes to head when we realize that we have a multitude of free ball competitions, which have in some years been won by the same exact routine, has won three different competitions. Let's just go down the line. Any thoughts on... My thinking is that I think it's a good idea to have somebody do this. I think the board maybe should do this directly. I'm not sure that we should give it to a subgroup. Having said that, my fear of creating a subgroup is that whatever subgroup you do is going to be of highly charged individuals who this is their pet peeve. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's bad.
So like I say, I don't know anything about competition. This is Bob. And, but could we not, like I say, because I don't really feel qualified making decisions sometimes about some of the professional jugglers because never been one, not going to compete, never will. The committee, if we could get, like you say, the problem is you do get very highly charged people with opinions. But, I almost tend to think it would be nice to have if we could say, okay, this is what professional jugglers who have been in the business for 20 years and do it professionally think it should be. We can still agree or disagree, and, of course, that doesn't solve a problem because it's never going to happen in this short time span. But it may be something to look for in the future to say, we get, the passing zone and Anthony Gatto, if they would do it, or anybody, any guys who have been around, for a while, and just say, what do you think should it be? Or the qualification or whatever. I don't know if that makes sense or not. Like I say, because I'm totally out of the loop on this.
Okay. I think that's valid.
I think this year we have to make some sort of decision. It seems there is a question about how people qualify and what they do and stuff. And like I say, I'm just so removed from it. I don't know.
Let me go another direction for a second. Then WJF is another competition format, and it just finished up. And is everyone aware that Jason announced that the WJF may be moving to the summer?
No.
Apparently he said that at the opening gathering, that in order to attract bigger crowds, they may move to summer. Now, at this point, that's a little premature. It was a may. It was a conditional. But I do think there's an issue that, we have a strong tradition of being the competition. But for those people who read rec.juggling, you would never know that today. The rec.juggling crowd appears to think that the juggling competition in the world is WJF, not ours.
But my impression,
I'm a little concerned about this.
My impression of reading that, though, at least, like I say, now I don't read 8 million posts on there or something, But I think it's very clear that they're very technical jugglers, because there were a couple posts about why doesn't Anthony compete.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's almost like, yes, he's a performer. So I think, I don't know, they've got their niche. And, I mean, you know, we can try to either incorporate or, you know, take away that niche.
But my objection to that line of reasoning, I mean, that's certainly the spiel that Jason wants people to use.
But even the posters say that. I mean, you know, like...
Oh, I know that. Yeah. He's been very successful in it. But I would say, I would argue that the IJA does represent technical juggling. That's what we represent. And the biggest success, marketing success, that Jason has had is he has stolen... I mean, our competitions are all based on technical juggling. Talk to Don Lewis sometime. He'll run your ear off on why we don't, you know, why the artistic element is so underrated in our competitions.
Well, no, I understand that. But, I mean, in the same vein, you know, why are those questions always about Gatto, who is, you know, I mean, is a great technical juggler, but he's not in there. He's not doing this, you know. Just,
oh, well, yeah. I mean, there are certainly other...
I mean, there's a whole thing about that he is a performer nowadays, but people are still very interested in it. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm not sure what the answer is, a head-to-head competition or what that's going to be, because I'm not sure, you know, what's going to go on. But, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, I don't know if that's the biggest threat there is. I mean, he can move it to any time, and it's okay, great. Which one are you going to go to? I mean, let's remember, I mean... I would guess, and I don't know, I'm not the registrar, you know, well over 3/4 of our people are families and jugglers who just really don't care how long the five-ball competition goes for. You know, I mean, they're in there for the good time. They're in there for the gym. They're in there for the workshops. I don't know what he offers like that, but it doesn't seem the same. So I don't know. I don't view him as that big a threat. I could be wrong, like I say, because I've never been to one, and I really don't know much about it.
I haven't been. This is Kim. I haven't been to one of his either, but I'm watching on his website more and more. They're really pushing the teaching aspect. They're really pushing going into schools, and you know, I took notice the workshops this time were like beginner three ball, and he threw a lot more beginner stuff into there.
Yeah, I did, Bob. I just wasn't aware of that because, like I say, I'm, you know, just, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know how we address that. And, I mean, just, you know, like I say, if somebody does come up, you know, because, like I say, there's, you know, 2,000 members, so I'm not sure what goes on there.
Yeah,
know,
I would actually guess that his target audience is teenagers, which... Mm-hmm. implies families, because those teenagers are coming with their families.
I could throw one other thing into this discussion. Albert Lucas called me and Dave this week, and I think, you'll have to, whatever you say about this too, Dave, I have the feeling from what he said, he wants to get back his ISJF, for those of you who don't, he was there in Reno the
right.
last time he's been, and he, I think he ran the joggling, he and a couple of his buddies ran the mm-hmm. joggling competition, and he wants to get back on this ISJF, and which is trying to make it juggling in the Olympics or whatever. I think he's wanting to have a part of the IJA again, running perhaps the numbers in the juggling competition. So I just wanted to throw that out. That's one more possibility. Is that what you thought, Dave? Is that your feeling?
Yeah, he is aware that we Bill Geddes is probably not going to do juggling this year. He has a conflict of interest. And so we are, I believe, unless it's already been filled, in the need of somebody to run juggling. He certainly said that he'd be interested in doing that. I told him, that's great. You know, make a proposal or whatever, and he said, well, I've got my director of juggling, whatever, such and such, and he's the guy you need to talk to, not me. And I said, fantastic, you know, no problem, let me, send me his contact information, and so far I haven't received it.
This is Jim Maxwell, and just for the record, I also got an interesting phone call or a phone message from Albert Lucas. I have not returned his call, but I did think it was kind of odd that he just called me out of the blue wanting to, as he put it, catch up.
Well, for reference, there was a post on rec.juggling before any of these phone calls about Albert Lucas and the Olympics and what had ever happened to him, and that he had dropped out of the scene for a while. So I assume that he either read it himself or somebody sent him to that, and that prodded this group of calls.
Yeah, it's starting to certainly make more sense now.
I see.
Well, okay. I think one of the nice things we have, because I know Lucas's organization was down with you, wasn't it, one time, Jim?
Yeah, they were here 2 or 3 years ago.
And I think one of the nice things about this is we could hold him up and say, you know, you could do all this and this would be great, but, you know, you got to do something for us besides just host that. Because I think to a certain degree he is a draw. I mean, you know, I don't care what he does, you know, but demand more than just putting on juggling, because, you know, I can do that. I mean, that's no big deal. You know, putting on a running race is, you know, and they throw balls. How different is that from a regular race?
Not trivial, but okay.
No, it is. But, I mean, and the average race has 10 times more runners than they do. So, I mean, it's just not that hard. And I joggled for years with him. So, I mean, I know this is no rocket science. But, I mean, so he's not offering that much. I think we should hold him up and say, great, if you want to come back in the IJ, maybe you could put on a seminar or you could do this or something. Again, a draw, you know, that he is with the IJA.
Just another piece of information. Somebody told me that he was very hurt that he wasn't asked to perform at Reno. Since then, I think we have offered or made that statement, but it never hurts when talking to him to stroke the ego a little and see if he's willing to perform. Of course, stopping somewhere short of, we'll pay you.
Right.
Right.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But certainly if, you know, Albert Lucas is a big name, and certainly any time he wants to perform, he's more than welcome on the stage as far as I'm concerned.
And like I say, I think that's something we hold over if he wants to promote his organization. This is, you know, he's got to cough up too, I mean, because it's good for him. So, I mean, I don't think we have to give away, you know.
Well, to be fair to Mary Spar, I assume Mary Spar is going to run numbers again this year. And,
don't know if anyone's asked her.
I don't know either, which we could use as a segue into the next thing.
Right.
Well, like I say, you know, I just think, you know, Albert Lucas is great, and I'd love to have him involved with juggling again, but I don't think, I mean, this is this is something that's, I think, of value, and we just don't give it away and just say, oh, you could run it. Because, I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Anybody can run this. This is like a small track meet.
He brought money to the table.
Yeah, well, and I mean,
he was providing some of the gold, some of the other things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. But, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, let's make him bring something to the table. Because, I mean, it's not difficult to run. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, we've got the time, you know, we've got the stopwatches. I saw Larry when he did it, and Bill Gittes. I mean, you know, it's not rocket science. And we don't supply a lot to the participants. So, I mean, it's like, okay, this is not, you know, it's not, you know, the New York Marathon. You know, it's just not a big deal.
Do we have a track that we have contracted for yet?
I don't know.
I don't know that either.
I'm afraid I don't know that. I'd like there to be somebody in charge of juggling who then takes care of those details. I'll try to use this to segue into the next item, which is one thing which is very unclear to me is if we have listed on our site the juggling coordinator or whatever, is that position a festival position or is that a year-round position? In other words, are they in charge of promoting juggling year-round, which includes, of course, a heightened position at the festival, or is it something that is purely festival-related, in which case, organizationally speaking, they should be situated underneath the festival coordinator?
Well, I think they should be underneath the festival coordinator. This is Bob again. I mean, it just doesn't draw enough people. It loses money. I mean, why would you know, why would they be anything?
Well, I'll give the counter argument.
I mean, it's high priority. I mean, you know, it can be high profile.
But let me, did anyone happen to read Don Lewis's post about joggling on the joggling forum?
No.
I did.
I'll go over it. Joggling in the last year, in the last 4 months, has had two world records set for the marathon. One guy broke the record by 13 minutes, only to have it broken 2 months later by someone else. This represents, to my mind, a PR opportunity. There were some articles and some papers written on it, et cetera, et cetera. There's definitely an opportunity for some press, and joggling is certainly juggling-related. It would be nice if we had someone who was promoting joggling who took advantage of this interest and did something to promote joggling the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not a current joggling coordinator, certainly in the past, has always been, I agree with Bob, a sub-function of the festival, but I'm not sure that's how it should be. You know, maybe it's two different positions, but it seems to me there is a service that we aren't performing that we perhaps should be performing.
Well, this is Jim. Exactly how, I mean, because these are non-IJ events where these records are set, so I'm just wondering how we would capitalize on that.
Well, off the top of my head, one thing we, well, for one thing, I got a call out of the blue from the Harvard something or other paper asking for my input on what I thought about this great juggling accomplishment. Okay, so I mean, there is an opportunity to reach newspapers, even if we had very little to do with the event. The guy who won the first race and the guy who won the second race have apparently talked to each other, had some friendly conversations, and have talked about going head to head with each other. Certainly, that is something which we might want to foster and promote. And of course, that's just this one event. I think that there are opportunities to hold joggling events all over the place, as long as, you know, if we had somebody who was into joggling and wanted to promote it, that would be a wonderful thing to do. Which is going ahead again. One of the problems is we may not have such an individual.
This is Bob, and I just, because I have some input, because I did do joggling for years.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, we have run it really poorly, and I'm not going to go into every detail about it, but just trust me, it's been a fiasco. You know, in the state, we don't supply them with aids. In Vermont, we didn't have bathrooms for them. You know, so, I mean, we get some good stuff, and I see where we could get some PR, but I'm not sure, you know, this is a standalone position. I really think it's under the – I really feel strongly it's under the director, because – while it gets PR, I don't know who's going to learn to juggle to joggle. You know what I mean? It's not. Is it going to really draw in new members? Because, I mean, you know, and no place I know, I mean, I've seen some local joggling contests, but they're usually not done on tracks. They're very short speed events. And you also have the problem of people getting in. When I quit joggling, very bizarre things, you know, I mean, and although that's hard to do in a juggling convention, but I mean, you know, three bowling balls over the, you know, hurdles. Well,
lower,
is that juggling? I mean, you know, but it gets you publicity, but I'm not sure it does anything for us. I mean, it just, you know, or people on stilts. I saw that, you know, and I mean, it's just like, yeah, this is great, but why is that any different than saying the unicycle obstacle course? I mean, I think there are more unicyclists out there that would go for an obstacle course that's really challenging, because there is a whole set of extreme unicyclists than this, you know. I just don't see the, you know.
I think I'm phrasing my issue.
Okay.
You're answering a question that I didn't mean to ask.
Sorry.
and your point's taken, but I guess what I'm trying to say is some of these positions, such as the championships, the joggling, and numbers, all of these things none of these things are huge items, okay? I'm going to concede you that point right off the bat. Okay, they aren't. They just aren't that. In the greater scope of things, these are not huge items. The question is, are they things that the IJA is only interested in promoting at the festival, or are we interested in promoting them at times other than the festival?
Well, one of the things I would say right just off the top of my head quickly, and the quick answer is, then if we're going to promote it, we cannot have it compete against the games. Because nobody goes to joggling except the jogglers and maybe some of their family, because it's competing against all of the other games traditionally. And I mean,
no,
okay, you're never going to have a crowd there.
When's the last time you were at joggling?
A few years ago.
I'm guessing so, because it hasn't competed against games in some time.
It's run on Tuesdays.
But they never get done on time. That's what the problem is. I've seen it run. I think in Reno it ran. It's incredible how long and slow it is. Yeah,
that
it doesn't because it starts at 8 o'clock or something, but it goes till 12, 1 o'clock. I mean, you could run a marathon in that time.
The Reno one was run in the afternoon, and it was very, very hot, and that was Albert Lucas running it, and he really messed it up from what
I saw. Well, in Las Vegas, the last time they messed it up, we offered, we had no aid. Mike Hout brought coolers and out of his own money because the IJA did not spend any money for it.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's got a history of being really messed up. So,
but again,
I don't mind if it does get good.
We're discussing only that element that's at the festival right
okay.
now. Okay. I mean, you're discussing only that element. I'm saying, is there joggling outside of the festival? Should the magazine have a joggling column and joggling results? No. There's hundreds of things that we could be doing there.
And again, how many participants do we have in joggling per year? I mean, is anybody
A handful.
Yeah.
How many people do we have compete in the championship? Less.
Well, but that's apples and oranges. Those are professionals. These are people. There's no professional people that go to joggling.
There's a lot of professionals. I mean, the championships is not just professionals.
No, but I mean, it's people who aspire to that. There's nobody who aspires to be a professional joggler. And if you're a real good track star, you're certainly not going to waste your time on joggling.
Okay. I didn't want to beat that too much. Any final comments from anyone?
Sorry.
Bob, anyone else? Okay. Let's go to the IJA store. Has everyone read my post on that? And my post?
Mm-hmm.
Post in my correction post?
Yes.
I probably just read your original post, I guess.
Okay. Maybe I'm being an alarmist here, but I do see a trend. My magazine column hopefully, kind of did it as well. I do see there being a problem with, in general, finding enough volunteers to do things. I can dream up probably 100 jobs that I would love to find a volunteer to do, but it's kind of moot because at the moment we're having a hard time to do what I will call core functions. Obviously, Joyce announced, if I recall right, Joyce, a year and a half ago, said that she would take over the store for a month or two while we found someone. A year and a half later, she's finally stepping down after giving us many, many, many warnings that she's going to do so. And thank you very much, Joyce, for all you've done. But I am a little distraught that no one has stepped up. I think there's several reasons for this. Bob listed a few good ones that I'm hoping he'll repeat for us here. And the big question here is, what can we do to get more members active and participating in the organization? And if we can't, how are we going to handle that?
This is Bob, and I just had one question, a very concrete question on like the joggling thing where we got off on things.
Okay.
Sorry about this. But anyways, you said, it seems to be, it's a very easy function, because Dave and I talked about this actually, what the function was. You don't need high-speed internet. You don't really need a lot of this, that, and the other thing. It's just, you know, you can do it, you know. But I think as I was driving home today, I thought, are they expected to be the merchandise person at the festival? Are they in charge of selling retail there?
Good question. And Joyce and I discussed this, and my answer is no.
But do we have a volunteer who's going to take over that function? You know, that's another thing, you know.
Yeah, to me, selling merchandise at the festival is a separate deal than selling it the rest of the year. Again, this goes back.
That's not hard to find somebody to do. That's not too difficult.
But I've seen you, Joyce. I mean, I don't know. I mean, with the credit card terminal. I mean, you seem to think it is, but I mean,
running the credit card. I see that.
Yeah, I mean, see, all of a sudden, if you're the merchandise retailer guy, if you're in charge of the credit card, you got to be there. I mean, you got to be available. And this is something I don't think it's a problem, but we just have to be honest with our members and say, you know, by the way, you know, this is also expected of you. Because if the guy signs up and says, you know, oh, yeah, it's just a couple hours a week, I just take orders and I tell somebody to ship them. But then with that week of my vacation, I'm expected to sit there for, you know, and I've seen Joyce do this, for 12 hours a day processing orders and trying to get, you know, the point of sale terminal set up. That's a different thing. And, I mean, we just have to be honest with our whoever's going to be a volunteer because, that was just one question I had. I don't know the answer.
I think what we do on all of this is we split it up, and that person who works during the festival, it doesn't need to be just one person. We actually have several people every year who volunteer to help with that, and that's not as big a problem as getting the treasurer and the person, like you say, to set up the cash register and so forth. But we're not asking a merchandise director. I wrote it up on and put it on this job description that's on the Internet, and I've actually revised it some more tonight because as Dave and I talked about it, we said, well, there could be a different person at the festival. There could be a different person who takes the phone and mail orders. There could be a different person in charge of just T-shirts and promotional items. There could be a different person in charge of the videos and doing the editing of the videos. There could be another person in charge of the online store software. That's what we have to do, is to identify the task and specify them so that a person does know what they're volunteering for. I agree.
Oh, yeah, and thanks for clarifying that, because like I say, it was a big question of mine, because I thought, one of those things. But the other thing is now, like I say, Dave knows me, I'm a half-empty guy, but it's just, now, is the accountant or whoever does the bookkeeping going to be comfortable with a lot of different individuals giving him information? Because there's one person at the festival, like you say, one person doing T-shirts, one person doing this. Do we have that commitment from somebody else to say, I can gather information from 9, 10, or 6
Well, let me answer how I want to answer that.
Yeah.
And maybe it may not. And I'll put a caveat before I answer it this way, that it's still in the works.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, Joyce and I have been discussing trying to get a merchant account, which would allow us to process credit cards without doing the PayPal problems that we've been having for the last however long. Still haven't got around to it. But if we do, it creates a interesting paradigm shift in that we can hopefully set it up so that the point of contact is the website. And so the treasurer or whoever doesn't have to worry about who runs the order through. They all appear identically from the website. And we let the computers do a lot of that work.
Okay.
That's the goal.
Yeah,
now,
I mean, that sounds great.
Now, as I said, I'll return to the caveat. There's a chance that we won't get that in order. And then instead, we're going to be doing it, on here, I'm going to hand you a bundle of cash and trust that you get it to the right person. And if so, then it's entirely possible that, what tends to happen is you get somebody who volunteers for a job. And it's not so much that we tell them that they need to do something more. It's that they realize that no one else is doing something a little bit more that really should be done. And so rather than not have it done, they go and volunteer for a little bit more. and then volunteer for a little bit more. And next thing you know, we're working the heck out of them. I think I'm in that situation. I didn't, when I signed up to help the IJ, I had no intention of putting the kind of time I have into it. However, you know, I made a choice time and time again that, well, gosh, I put this much effort into it. I'm not going to walk away with it without trying just a little bit harder.
And that's what happened with me in the last 2 years at the festival as well. I can answer one question, Bob. The cash register does all of that accounting for you. We have a very smart cash register, and it does keep track of all of the transactions as they come in.
Well,
so that's not a problem at the
festival. And
that's
so concerned about, you know, the volunteers, because I think we could find the volunteers. It's the next level of who has to handle, because we've all of a sudden got, you know, 5 or 6 merchandising positions, which is great, but who's in charge of that and who funnels that to
where? Oh, you mean year round?
Yeah, I mean, well, but I mean.
Well, yeah, this is what I think we're discussing in general. That is the topic. If you have more positions, then interfacing between them becomes more of an issue.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm just saying that
it's true.
You know, we definitely have to make sure the person who is at the end who gets that information is happy that 6 or 7 different individuals who at different stages or different years may not be as competent as the other ones, you know, he's happy getting that information and trying to do something with it. Because, I mean, that is a real question. I mean, because if I volunteer, I would assume that, you know, if you're an accountant and you volunteer to be an accountant with us, you expect certain things to be presented to you in a certain way. And, I mean, we have to make that clear to our people that, you know, this is the way you got to do it, you know, and it better be done that way, you know.
And I would assume.
I mean,
that issue is the bigger problem and the one in which I think is dangerous ground for us to talk about. But what happens when you got somebody who isn't doing it that way? Now, it's fine to make it clear. What happens if they just go and do rogue operations? What do we do about it?
Yeah, I mean, and like I say, with the merchandising, I mean, I can see it's a very, you know, I mean, because there are taxes or everything.
Well, I mean, we have the problem now, and I mean, I'll spell it out if you need to, but we have the problem now.
Well, I
what do we do about
get
it?
Into that problem now. So.
Well, that's what this meeting is partly about.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah, we have several problems. We have some problems of, you're talking about the bookkeeper and the person taking care of the accounting. No one's doing it right now.
Yeah, and that, to me, we can have 6 volunteers who do the most excellent job in the world, but where's that going? You know, it's just like, you know, I mean, it is a question, you know.
It's a problem.
Right now,
we have our bills being paid, but that's about it. We are in dire need of an accountant to help us do our bookkeeping because no one's doing it.
And now the question is, how do we advertise this fact? How do we find that volunteer? I mean, let's be blunt about this. This board has not seen a financial report this year yet, and it's December.
And no one's updating the QuickBooks accounting for a whole year now.
Now, I'm not making that as a problem with Jack, because Jack certainly was more than honest about it and said, look, I'm going to be swamped. I probably won't have time to do all this.
Yeah, that's true. He's processing our credit card orders and the credit card processing, and he's paying our bills, writing the checks, and doing the things that have to be done to keep the thing, keep us running day to day. But when it comes to a financial report or our 990 form next year, we have nothing for
well,
an entire year.
You know, it is Bob again. I'm kind of alarmed just about the whole tone of this. That obviously, I think, you know, we all know we're a little bit remiss in keeping up with what we should be doing financial statement-wise, to say the least, or report-wise. And, you know, I mean, you know, personally, we just can't do that. I mean, we, you know, if it takes hiring somebody and takes some of our money away, we need to do it because, I mean, I'm not sure legally what we're bound to do and what we're held to, But I'm sure we can never say...
And that becomes the question. Is it time to hire someone?
Well, I'm sure we can never say, though, you know, geez, we talked about this, but we just couldn't come to a decision. You know, I mean, well, I mean, we're a nonprofit. You have to do some things, you know, whatever, you know. Well, we have to do certain things under law. I mean, are we doing
right.
them? This is a question of mine, because if we're not, then I don't care what it is. We have to hire them and raise costs for the festival. I mean, it's just the cost of doing business.
It has to be done. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, there is no. I mean, it's like saying, you know, we sent out all the DVDs, but we didn't pay the post office, and I hope they don't come after us. Well, that's not going to happen. You have
right.
to pay. You know, I mean, just it's ridiculous. You know, to me, I mean, we have to know what reports have to be done. We have to be knowledgeable. I mean, it's by law.
Well, have to is a debatable term.
No, it's very clear in law, I think.
No. Here, have to in this case, in this specific case, is as follows. We have to file a 990 form.
Right.
Okay? Other than that, we have to have books adequate to the board's inspection. Whatever that is.
Well, but we have a fiduciary responsibility.
Yes.
And that is not, like I say, there are gray areas here. So, I mean, if we haven't seen a report for a year, there, you know, I mean, and like I say, this is just...
Yes,
I mean,
I think we as a board have been lacking in this area, and I don't know what to do about it, personally.
Well, like I say, I think we really, you know, I don't know. We have to model ourselves, or we have to look at other models of 2,000 member organizations and say, what do they do? They hire people. I mean, because we cannot have, you know, we can't have no financial statement or, you know, upbringing. I mean, how do we choose things? I mean, like I say, what do we charge next year for the festival? Because, I mean, we have no
right.
basis of knowing what our loss in income is. I mean, yeah, we're giving it away, and, oh, boy, isn't this great? We got a bunch of people, but, you know, this could really backfire on us. I mean,
I agree. So
opinion,
how do we
like
find
that.
These people, whether we pay them or not? How do we
yeah.
find these people? I don't think the membership actually understands how dire we are in need of volunteers for some of these positions. So I think communication with the membership is one of the first things we need to do. And the forum doesn't reach very many, and the magazine reaches some more, but that's an awfully long leg time there. I think we need to do, and this came up on the forum today, I don't know how many of you have been able to read it, have seen it yet. Don Lewis actually made the suggestion, which Dave and I had kind of come to the same conclusion, that I think we need to email the membership and with a letter just saying, we'd like you to fill out this survey and get a little bit of information about our members, anybody who's willing to return it. And I put a little bit of a sample on the forum, just throwing some ideas about what that survey would look like. And we could send them to a link on the website is what Dave suggested, and I like that idea even better, where it could tally the information automatically. And I think we should send a letter to the people who we don't have an email address for. We should be able to put that out pretty fast as well. But I think it's time. We have to ask for volunteers and more information, not just ask for volunteers, but to ask what are your interests and what give them some specific tasks that we need people for, and ask them if they would be willing to volunteer for certain types of tasks, not necessarily specific tasks, and ask what would you be willing to do for the IJA, see what we get back, and maybe then we at least have some people to start calling, because that's the way you're probably going to get most of these jobs, is to start calling people and asking, could you do just this? Start with small tasks.
Well, this is Kim. I'm sorry, Joyce. I did happen
uh-huh.
to read your post and
okay.
what you had worded out. And not only does the interest part, you know, help them to maybe see where they can help, but if we see that a certain member has interests in certain areas or certain hobbies, they may not even realize that they have skills that we could use.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And, you know, once you see that on their survey form, it's a matter of, you know, a nice phone call, you know, saying, hey, I saw this on your survey, and we think that your skills fit perfectly for this function within the group. Because they may not realize that they have a certain skill that we do need. So I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, I think so too, Bob. I think this is, you know, a great beginning.
I'd like to see it done before we start talking about hiring somebody. At least give this a try.
Well, even if we're going to hire somebody, I think the problem is, how do you hire someone?
That's right.
Obviously, a professional off the street would cost, well, maybe not obviously, but a professional off the street would probably cost more than we can afford. So we probably do need somebody who will, has a working knowledge of how who we are. And there certainly are options there. Also, on the financial part, Todd Strong has said he might be willing to help do some stuff. Unfortunately, the part in which he doesn't feel comfortable doing is the part that's not being done now. He doesn't mind taking over what Jack's doing, but we would still need to do somebody to do what Jack's not doing. I put it out there because that is about the only response I've had on that.
Does Jack want to give up what he's doing now? I haven't heard that, actually.
So he hasn't said he wants to give it up. He's just, he is well aware that he is not doing the job to the degree in which the job needs to be done.
Right.
And that is never very satisfying.
Right.
Okay? He is happy to help out to the extent that we can. I guarantee you he will not help at the festival next year, because that's pretty much all he did last year at the festival. But it's up to that point, he is willing to do his part, as it were, whatever that is.
Is Todd
Quite
willing?
Frankly, we don't have that many checks to write, and we don't have that many deposits to make, so I don't think doing that part is terribly
time-consuming. That's the easy part. It's the festival and the accounting, that's the hard part. That's right.
And part of that is because our systems are not lined up right to do it. We try to make progress on that, but I'll say that, you know, I'll step up in line too. I've been very disappointed with the lack of assistance for people coming forward on the website. Some of those information systems, yeah, we got lots of programmers. I would have thought I could have found lots of people to help out. Instead, I have not.
So how do we proceed on putting out this email? And letter.
Well,
what would you suggest?
I mean, I think we do that over the next week, 2 weeks, on via the forums, via the board forum or something.
Right.
Heck, we can do it via the open forum. There's no reason to keep it secret. Writing the letter generates interest, that may do more than the actual letter does. So, yeah, I think we can continue the discussion that you started, and as soon as the time comes to act, we can act. I am rather ticked. I don't know how many people want to listen to me rant and rave. I'm gathering Bob doesn't want to, but I'm rather ticked that an email went out yesterday without my or anyone else's knowledge on the board. And it certainly didn't cover the issues in which I thought were important to communicate to the membership. And in my opinion, we do have a rogue operator out there, and it's hurting the organization, and it's driving volunteers away. I'll state it for the record. Okay? Now,
okay,
that complicates things.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, you want to hear from me? Okay. Now, are we talking about the one for the Portland Fest? Because that's the only email I got.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's a problem for you?
You bet you. I'm livid about it. And here is why.
Okay.
That Katya got a call saying that this needed to go out immediately. Katya said, no, I don't want to send it out yet. I don't think we're ready to send it yet. She was overridden. And this was sent out. Okay?
No one on the board. Did anyone of you on the board know that that was going out?
No.
No.
Now, is the post itself horrible? No. Is it a missed opportunity? Yes. Okay? First of all, it wasn't that interesting of a post. Did anyone read it in its entirety?
Yeah, actually, I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay. Well, that's more than I thought. I mean, but this group may have. I don't suspect very many people did. Did anyone not read it in entirety?
I didn't until you and I talked about it this afternoon.
Okay. You know,
I have read it now. Yeah.
It isn't the post itself. What is annoying is that it went out at all. And what's even more annoying is that it got sent out on the old website, which in fact is apparently still around. But, you know, to my mind, I don't want, you know, there is a fine balance here. We need to have our volunteers able to do something, okay? When our volunteers take on a task, they should be in charge of it, whatever that task is. But we also need to keep things to target, okay? We need to make sure that our communications to our members handle and are directed toward the issues in which we want our communications to go to. It is not acceptable that anyone, me or anyone else, just decides, hey, the IJ is doing this and goes off on some rogue tangent. This is not acceptable. I don't care how sincere the person is or how much they think it's a plus.
I think an email that goes out to the entire membership, we have to protect that very carefully because we tell people when we collect those email addresses that we will not send out a lot, and we don't send out a lot. It's not a problem, but that database, if several people get that database from the memberships director and they start sending out emails, that's a real problem. We possibly, someone on the board should okay an email going to the entire membership. That's like sending out a letter to the entire membership. I don't think one person should be able to decide that.
Well, Joyce, I agree with you.
Unless, and I'll put this caveat, unless we give somebody that task.
Right.
But for somebody to take that task on their own and make that decision on their own, well, I've got serious problems with that. The result, I'm not that upset about. The violation of process, I'm furious about.
This is Bob. The only thing I see, and I know, I mean, I certainly, when I read it, knew what was going to happen here. But the problem is, and I just, I may be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, unless it's really a heinous thing that's gone out, our members are going to look like, okay.
Hold on. Let me stop you. I'm not suggesting we take action tonight on this.
Okay. But I'm just saying, bringing it up even. Blasting
okay.
him on the wrist, even bringing it up, is a guy who gave in good faith, like it or not, you know, that's what it's going to come out as.
It may come across that way. I don't think it was in good faith.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But as long as it's, I've told you this before, perception is what rules.
I understand
as long as it
that.
Comes along, as the perception is it's in good faith.
I understand
this,
that. And I'm saying that one of the reasons we do not have volunteers stepping up for position today is directly traceable to, one, the individual in specific, but the attitude in general is causing us problems.
Well, I think the problem is, and I can speak to this very, you know, very well, because I'm civil service, and they fire people all the time for the wrong reasons, and they get hired back. We have to find out. I understand there was a problem with the T-shirt design that last year that somebody overrode the committee's decision. Now, that's when we should have slapped down. Over this email, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just
I'm not saying this is – I mean, this isn't near as grievous as the last one. The question is, how many incidents happen before the board takes action? At what point does the board act? At what point do we do something about lack of financial reporting? We all know it's wrong. We all know that the board has been – we have not done our duty. We have not provided reports to the quality in which we should. We all know it's wrong. The question is, when do we step up and actually do something about it? And then how do we do something about it?
But you're choosing the communications part to jump on.
I'm choosing – no, this
not
is a general discussion.
Part. I mean, because I would be much more concerned about the financial part, and I'd like to hear that same concern about that.
You think I'm not?
Well, I know, but I mean...
But the difference is that in the financial stuff, I don't have anyone I can point to that I say, this person has messed up and needs to be disciplined. We need to replace this person. Sure, we need to replace Jack. I'll say that right now. If anyone wants to know it, I think we need to replace Jack with somebody who does a better job. Having said that, Jack knows that.
He's the first one to agree with you.
Right, yeah.
Okay?
You know, I agree.
We don't have anyone to replace Jack.
But the other thing to me is a sideshow, and we talk about this privately. You know,
right.
And I've emailed other people, and it just, I just don't see it. It's a divisive issue. It's, you know, again, his email, if you can, you know, like I say, we have to find some cause. You have to find cause to do this. The cause is not there right now.
Well, what we need to do is we need to organize the organization.
Okay. And
right.
Like I say,
and
I'd like
if
to
we do that, we may want to clean up this other problem while we're doing it.
And I agree. I mean, there is a real problem over overlapping and what they do. But, I mean, you know, you and I are not going to do it, and nobody else is coming
forward. Let me bring up another person. We have a complaint listed against our European representative and a request that we dismiss him.
So I guess I think that would have been nice to share.
Well, I'm sharing it now. I meant to get to it.
Well, no. But I mean, I'm saying, you know, you spring these things out. You're like, okay.
I understand because I did not take the complaint seriously.
Okay.
However, nonetheless, I will say that European representative is another function where what the heck do they do? Just like communication coordinator, there's no real definition. There's no real duties assigned to it. I couldn't tell you if the person's failing or not. We expect nothing from the position.
So we screwed up, and we're going to blame other people for it.
So the question then is why do we have such a position?
Well, I agree with you there. I mean,
okay.
I think that any reorganization, but I mean,
we do a reorganization, it ought to clean up the problem with the European representative, too. That's another area that we need to clean up.
We need
to either define it or get rid of the position.
Right.
That's nothing personal. I mean, people seem to think that the other issue is something personal with me, and it
This is Jim. Was the nature of the complaint regarding the European representative, was the nature of the complaint about an action or an inaction?
An action. Like I said at the beginning, I mean, I'm hoping no one ever listens to this tape, but I'll freely say everything. There was a person who complained that the European representative publicly was advocating copyright infringement. There's been a debate on rec.juggling and other places lately about whether or not it's okay to copy a juggling video. And many apparently said, hey, you know, I think it was specifically regarding WJF. He said, somebody, you know, please somebody copy the shows and send me a copy of it. Whereas somebody else said, oh, that, how can you dare think such a thing? You need to, you know, buy a copy of whatever. Okay. This is a debate which has gone back and forth between countless people countless times. Okay. I'm not taking a side on it. However, I will say that one person was upset enough to call me up and say, do you realize you have an officer who's advocating this illegal position, according to them?
Well, you know, I think this is a very important issue, and I, like I say, I think the IJ has to be legal, like it or not. You know,
right.
One of the problems we have, though, is we are totally illegal every time we put music to the DVDs we send out.
Do we actually know that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have talked to Alan Blocken.
Well, yeah. I know Alan is of that opinion, but
you cannot use
Jim?
People's music
yes.
without paying. I mean, that's the bottom line is. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, but I know that Jim said that our lawyer was going to look at that, and I wondered if we ever got a result.
She is of the opinion that yes, it is illegal, but it's one of those things that there's such a small chance that anybody's actually going to come after us for it. Number one, we're not very deep pockets. Every other, you know, festival, and not just juggling festivals, but a lot of other festivals do the same thing. And it's sort of just kind of looked the other way. I don't know to what extent she's researched it, mm-hmm. which, by the way, our attorney now lives in Seattle. She's no longer in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
But she was of the opinion, and we've talked about it, you know, with regards to our local festival, too, that is a problem. It's not so much a problem for us because we don't hold, we don't sell videos of
mm-hmm.
our performances. But just in terms of, and for that matter, we don't even charge admission for our public show. But so I'm really not sure how aggressively they could come after us, but in terms of the IJA, that if push came to shove, then we would likely be in the wrong.
And my biggest concern was, this is Bob again, that one year they used a Grateful Dead song, and they're very proprietary of their songs, like Elvis Presley's estate is. I guarantee you that they hire lawyers just looking to, you know, and it wouldn't cost us money, but we just can't do it. I mean, my thing is, we are in violation. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, like I say, you just can't use it without paying. I mean, that's why they cut off halftime shows in college football, because they had to pay, you know, the writer of the song and everything else, because that's why you don't have the halftime shows, the marching bands, because they had to pay. So, I mean, I'm sure they were, you know, whether
it was... Is that really true?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
A college football game?
Have you ever seen a halftime show anymore? With music and the marching band? Never.
They don't. They actually don't.
That's right. And that is why, because they sued them. And that is why. So, I mean, we are on very... thin ice on this.
Well,
and I told him, because in what, I don't know what year it was, because I'm a, you know, I like the Grateful Dead, and he used Uncle John's band. And I said, man, I can't believe you put that on. He goes, oh, well, you know, I just threw it on. And I go, oh, my gosh. I mean, the Grateful Dead have an organization like Elvis Presley. They go after people. Luckily, they've never discovered us or don't care. But, I mean, they could. They could come back and just ream us. Use that.
More of these groups are going after the smaller
exactly.
people, because a school district only two towns over from us got caught with copyright violation.
A school district.
It wasn't much,
yes.
but it was $5,000 fine.
Wow.
Well, Kim, even when you put on a play in a school, don't you have to pay a royalty?
My theater group, in
exactly.
fact,
exactly.
We
you
just
put on
put
Oklahoma.
On,
you got to pay something to the guy who wrote Oklahoma as
yeah.
a
We just did Stan Peele's show, Juggler to the King, and we paid him a royalty.
Exactly.
You know, he
I mean,
gave us a good
serious.
Deal, but we paid him a royalty because you have to pay for the rights.
Yeah.
Now, with the case of music, from what I understand from doing our school shows in that, it's not necessarily that the performers or the IJA would have to pay royalty. It would just be, especially since the IJA is nonprofit, it would be a matter of just getting written permission for those songs
exactly. yeah.
to be used.
Yeah, there's this is what Paula was going to look into, and I don't know if she ever did.
You have to get permission.
You can pay a fee to like ASCAP or an organization like that, and everything that's in their library, then you have a legitimate claim to. But I don't know exactly, you know, what it would take to crack that nut. But I know that club owners also have to buy into that, which is how they can get cover bands to play at their venues.
Well, my guess, my position on this is if there's a way to do this legally, I would much prefer to do it legally. I'm hoping that we aren't in any outright violation. If we are, I think we should do what we can to correct it. And
I agree.
Now, then becomes the question of just how much work is it to comply.
And who has to comply? I mean,
it's like everything else. Okay, if that's something we need to do, well, then what do we do? Do we need to hire somebody to look into this?
I will follow up with Paula and see if she's found out anything or just kind of relight the fire so she can do some investigation.
I will say that what I have been told in my informal questions is kind of what you said to begin with, which was, yes, it's possible, but the rules simply aren't set up for small players, and they're highly prohibitive to small players. And so the result is usually everyone tells me, look, just don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't ask questions. Don't make me look up this answer, because if I do, you will regret it.
Yeah.
Well, okay? The other thing that can be done as far as the competitions with the music, and this is done at academic competitions that I'm involved with, they have a disclaimer printed on the registration form for the competition. And it says, you know, it is the performer's responsibility to, you know, get all necessary permissions for use of music or images or whatever the case may be for all copyright, and it is that performer's responsibility for any copyright infringement.
I don't know
what kind of...
Well, that's a dubious good idea. I guarantee you that most of our performers out... I mean, yes, it covers us legally.
right.
Just for those people who don't remember, our contract for Portland says that we will take responsibility so that no one can sue Portland in case that's the case.
That's true.
But I think that's an excellent idea, though. I mean,
we can pass it on to the performer, but I don't know whether our performers, you know, it may cost us performers, for one thing.
But I also think that's why you see a lot of jugglers coming up with their own music, because they don't want to do this. Because I know the Karamazovs all of a sudden, you know, they're all creating music. That's why, because they don't want to pay.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's where we need our survey, musicians willing to write music for us. And actually, there is a possibility that on our videos next year, we had some people this year that wanted to put out a CD of their own music, and it had Sky King and Andy Ford, Lana Boland. Those were at least three on the committee.
That was 2 years ago.
They talked about it 2 years ago, and they talked about it this year. It's never happened. And I made the suggestion, why don't we get you guys in touch with Alan Plotkin and let him use that as the background on his montage and whatever on the video. Alan liked the idea. They liked it. It's just a matter of getting them all together and making it work. And there's where we need a video coordinator.
Speaking of which, FYI, emphasis on the F of FYI, I did watch the video the other day, and there is an instance of the F word that managed to make it through 600 revisions. So
we caught several, but we missed one that the audience, I think you said it came from the audience.
Came from an audience member.
I haven't heard that one, yeah.
Pretty obvious somewhere on disc one. So at some point we may have to deal with some upsets about that.
Yeah, Alan.
But I think you can clearly say that, you know, we did our best, and, you know, we missed it.
I think that is our position, but, you know.
Yeah, and Alan does not want to. He took those out, as he wanted us to find all of those, and we found all but one, it looks like, but anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just brought it up in case somebody does tell about you. Yeah, we did find it. Unfortunately, we found it after it went to press.
Yeah.
And that was not our intention to leave it in there.
but
we cut out a lot more.
Okay. To keep this from getting too much longer, since we're real long already. Well, let's go ahead and move on, unless somebody objects, and we'll have to deal with this on the forum. Book publishing. Just touch base real quick. I have talked to Todd a little bit about his idea. I like the idea. It kind of backs into this, what we've already talked about, presuming that we have the labor to do it. We're looking at probably an $8,000 to $10,000 investment, but it seems pretty reasonable that we can recoup that cost and maybe even make a small profit.
This is Jim. I never was clear from his proposal. Is he proposing to write the content of the book?
Yeah, we are going to co-make this, okay? We're going to basically be the publisher. He's going to be the writer.
Okay.
And he will be paid for his service something. He will get a royalty out of this.
Now, when you say a royalty, does that mean a per book that we publish, per book that we sell? What?
I don't know. I don't know that we've gotten to that point in the discussion yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure that he would be fine with per sale.
I just have a question, and it's post back to me. He, you know, said, well, you know, I've sold about 2,000 of my dice stacking book, but I've sold an enormous amount of the Diablo book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would really like that verified, because those are two different numbers that are radically different. You know, I mean, one is a, you know, homespun publishing deal, and one is, you know, I mean, $30,000, I'm just astounded that he could sell that many Diablo books. I mean, and I may be wrong, but, I mean, that's incredible to me, you know. So, I mean, but for him to start
Diablo
off...
Diablo books do sell, though. I mean, Diablo
well,
is
it
hot.
Could be. I mean, you may be right. I mean, I'm just way off base. But for him to say his dice stacking book as how-to only sells 2,000 or less, but then this other one sold this, so, I mean...
Well, frankly, I read that and said 2,000 dice stacking books? Oh,
yeah.
This is a cinch.
Well, but that was a paperback deal. So, I mean, that was not the coffee table book he's envisioning. So, I mean, somewhere between 2,000 and 30,000 lies the truth. And I'd really like to, you know, have him.
Any idea how we can validate those numbers?
I think we ask him and say, hey, who do we verify this with? You know, who sold these books? I mean, let's look at it. Because, I mean, there could have been 30,000 published, but, I mean, they're going for $2 a book at the, you know, books discount.
Yeah, my guess is that's going to be very hard information to get.
Yeah, but, I mean.
Unless somebody, does anyone know Brian Dubay very well?
Mm-hmm.
Or any other vendor? They can probably give us some idea what their sales on books are like.
I mean, I know Tom Kidwell, but I don't know if you've ever cut it, you know, caught it, just or kept it.
All right. Well, at this point, it's still in the preliminary. I didn't want to spend much time, but I did want to. Does anybody else have any questions on that I might be able to answer?
So he's talking about wholesaling them as well to the publisher. To juggling stores.
Well, at the moment, it's just, hey guys, there's this opportunity that it's a 100-year anniversary of a Diablo craze. Diablo is quite popular again today. There's an opportunity to do a book here. I've already done a bunch of research in the past. This could be parlayed into something without an exorbitant amount of work, and it could be a function that the IJA does to serve judges.
I think it's a great idea. I think we have to ask Steve Healy if he's willing to stock them and ship them first.
I asked how many 1,000 books would be the space of that, and the answer was about 20 what I call standard size boxes, which is less than a pallet. Now, hopefully we could use the same. We could do some pre-sales and not have that many around, but that's not an exorbitant amount. That's for a production run of 1,000.
I did like Joyce's question, though. I mean, even on the email, you know, the forum, that, you know, yeah, we do have to consider this, because I don't mind, like, a yearbook. If you signed up for it, you get it. But but then we're going to store this for how many years and what? You know.
Oh yeah, I know.
You know, when do we throw these away?
Also, this is Jim. I would just note that if we're going to tout this as a benefit for members, you know, I don't think we're going to open a huge gate, but still,
well,
we might get other proposals, and you know, that are, you know, less or less thought out and less attractive,
right,
as this one. But.
Well, the hope is, I mean, certainly if it becomes a service, it might be possible to publish 10 books a year, and it might be a model that we want to become involved with. Certainly, Martin Frost is hoping to put together a passing book. He might be interested in having us publish for him. I don't recommend I suggest him with the idea, but it does seem like a good idea to me. Okay, I would be more than happy. I think the idea would be well served to work with Martin on that project. You know, there are a number of these, and yes, it does. We will have to have some people who are very good at saying no, because there will be projects which aren't thought out well or aren't put together well, which we need to do it. And then to segue into the next topic, another possibility is to get StageRight to help do some of the layout work, and that may make them more interested in continuing a relationship with the IJA. Clever segue, eh?
Clever.
Well, actually, this is Bob. I like that angle.
Sure.
At first, I was groaning to myself when you brought that up, but I think that, you know, that may be because I don't know what we're going to do about the magazine. I mean, it's just, we've got to interest them somehow if we're going to keep it.
I mean, I don't know if it's a great angle, but it's an angle we can try.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Just to address Dave Walbridge's question, do we have a number from Stan Allen in terms of what membership should be to make this worth his while?
Well, I believe Bob asked that direct question to him when he was here at our last meeting.
Yeah, I was not there.
Sorry. I forgot. Yes, Bob asked that direct question, and the answer was no. He doesn't have in his head a direct answer, but then he spit out numbers of 3,000 and 4,000.
Oof.
And he wants to see, in one of my posts I put, I guess, to Dave Walbridge, that he wants to see growth. I mean, I think if we have substantial growth, but I'm not sure that's the reality, and that's what else I posted. I mean, he wants to see growth. He wants to back a winner, you know,
sure,
in his mind. And his other, Jim, when he also said, and I think, you know, we all better examine this, is that, you know, you may be just a 2,000-member organization that treats your members really well, and you better just live with that, because, you know, 100 leave, 100 join, you know, it just, and I'm not sure, quite honestly, seeing what we're doing, and I mean, I don't hear a lot of ideas about, you know, locking members up here, that, you know, we may better readjust our sights and our goals to that thing, and I don't want to change the subject off stage, right?
No, that's a perfect.
But I mean,
that I think is the subject of Stan.
Yeah,
I think,
but I mean,
that
that's
is
what's, you know, and Stan Allen, I like him, and he seems a very intelligent businessman. And he was talking about the troubles of publishing magazines, period, with the internet, that all, you know, subscriptions are down.
Sure.
And I mean, I'm not sure that we aren't just a 2,000 member organization that treats our members well. I mean, yeah, we can order, you know, we can offer camping, we can do this, we can do that. But, I mean, I'm not sure it grows substantially to where he's looking at. For us, it may be great that we get 500 more members.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, when we get 2,500 members, he's going to go, that's great, you know.
Jim, one of the statistics that Stan told us last time was that his Magic Magazine subscriptions are at about 7,000. Okay.
Yeah.
I believe that 2 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago, they were at 10,000. Okay, so Magic Magazine, unless I messed up my math or memory or whatever, has taken a sizable hit in the last few years. I then did some research checking for various magazines to see if, in fact, they have declined. And And part of that you saw written up in my column, if you read that.
Yeah.
Yes, across the board, just about every magazine has had drops. The only exceptions are ones in which generally are not, don't count to me. AARP is up.
Yeah.
But that one doesn't really count as far
as I'm
concerned.
Because there are more baby boomers getting
the Well, that's part of it, but it's not really something people subscribe to. So
right, you just get that as a benefit of membership. Yeah.
It's not. It's a different model. In fact,
yeah.
Most of them that were up were a different model, and not applicable to what I see as doing.
And even if I can interject, you know, all print media is down. You know, Knight Rider is up
sure.
for sale, which is the largest, you know, publisher of newspapers in the country. You know, and so I think this is a real concern for him. But yeah, no fast numbers. The bottom line is no. He gave us no numbers. But I think he wants to see substantial growth. And our problem is, even if we get, you know, that influx, let's say 500 members next year, we just go, you know, to the wall for it. We're not going to get 500 the next year. It's not going to happen, you know. And I just don't think he's satisfied with that.
I'll never say never, but yeah, certainly I think we've tried to get members the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years. Not like we've never not made this effort. I don't know what we're doing wrong. I don't know what we could do better.
I don't know that it's necessarily completely us doing anything wrong.
Yeah, I actually regretted that as I said it.
Yeah,
I said it that way.
Because I know I heard from Anthony Shave from Perpetual Motion.
Good, good.
And he basically emailed me, since I know him fairly well, and said, give me a reason for staying with the IJA, because his membership has lapsed. And he's going through some things personally right now. He's married, has a family and all now, and is having trouble making ends meet. And like he said, with his son and all, $30 is a big deal, you know. So I tried persuading him as best as I could, and he said the magazine has actually lost interest in juggling, period. But he said the magazine just doesn't have anything for him. He's really not interested in reading about events that have taken place that he maybe even was at. He's looking for more, but he couldn't. When I asked him, what does he mean by looking for more, so that, you know, maybe we can make some changes with what he's seeing, he couldn't, you know, pinpoint things. He just kept saying, you know, the economy's tough right now. I'm having trouble making ends meet. You know, this $30 can be spent, you know, to put a meal on the table rather than go into the magazine. So,
I think there are
other factors that are just beyond our control at this point.
Right. I think we all can see that, you know, in our local clubs too. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
have people that are just fervent and passionate about it 1 year, and then, you know, they'll either pick up new interests or, for whatever reason, you know, they drop off and you know, they're just not as passionate about it. And I'm wondering if maybe that's just the nature of the beast that we're dealing with here.
Which brings us to Bob's idea that maybe we have to get used to being a sub 2,000 member organization and make changes accordingly. Maybe raise membership fees.
Yeah.
This is Bob, and I know Jim's got a real college, you know, your club is basically college crowd, and, you know, I'm sure once they leave college, you lose track of them. In our area, Dallas-Fort Worth, we get a bunch of, you know, early teenagers, young middle schoolers that are very involved. But, I mean, we laugh because the minute they get a car and a driver's license and discover girls, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our boys. I mean, you know, that juggling's out the window. Maybe when they go back to college, they'll pick it up again. But we lose them in a minute. And, I mean, it's nice to say, oh, you should offer something. Oh, yeah, Friday night in Fort Worth, you can come juggle, or you could go to the school dance, to the school football game. I mean, it's just, it's not even a question. So, I mean, I think there are limits. I mean, with the adults, I think we have a better chance. But, I mean, even in college, I mean, yeah, I can juggle for so many hours, you know, doing, you know, because I'm just going to school and my parents are supporting me to a certain degree. But, I mean, I'm sure Jim sees that, too, a high turnover once they graduate. They ain't coming back to the juggling club, you know. And that's,
absolutely. And actually, we've lost a number of them to unicycling, mm-hmm. which I don't think we need to discount, you know, in terms of fringe interests.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about supporting juggling and supporting Diablo and things like that. But unicycling is taking off. And it, at least I'm seeing evidence of it here, but we're in a good position because we sort of have a sister organization that I mean, that's we've incorporated that into our festival. And so we've got a big...
Well, let's discuss that for just a second. Hopefully no one has to go anytime soon. This meeting is going long. You know, I belong to the Unicycle Organization, USA.
Yeah.
And, you know, here locally, unicycling is not catching one, but that may be a per-club thing. But regardless, I'd like to see far more unicycling and other fringe crossover things at promoted through the IJA. I think it's a good way in which we can kind of segue our membership, or not segue, expand our membership base. There is downside to that. You know, I know that we've caught a certain amount of flack this year, as we have on past years, for, you know, quote, a non-juggler winning the juggling competition.
But I think, this is Bob, and I think Austin really sets the tone on this, and we've copied it up in Fort Worth in our three-day festival, that you draw in these unicyclists and they do these obstacle courses. And the IJA used to do them much more fervently. I mean, like I say, I can remember even Vermont, they had a difficult course, and it challenged the unicyclists. But, I mean, once again, somebody, you know, bought a membership, I guess, and you know, entered. And, I mean, you know, I don't really care if they juggle or not, you know, and it may turn some of them on to juggling. You know, I could juggle on a unicycle, but, I mean, I know in Austin, one of the biggest hits is the obstacle course. I mean, it's just incredible how much.
Yeah, and it's
not that difficult to do because I think basically one guy brings all the stuff in. They set it up in a gym, and it's incredible.
He does, to be fair, he does sometimes have issues, you know, getting people to carry the stuff in.
Yeah, right.
It so happens that,
but, I mean, it's incredible.
It's not
this massive thing where you have to rent a track or anything. You just need the space, you know, and a guy does it. I mean, and it is a benefit.
And incidentally, Connie Cotter, I believe, is the president of the Unicyclists Society. She's coming to Austin, paying her own way and coming here to give a workshop. And it's really taken off here. And
Connie's a nice gal.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'll remember me or not, but I did talk to her and was impressed with her. And certainly I would like to do more with them.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to have a unicycle festival in conjunction with our festival.
Sure.
I'm upset that we no longer get the yo-yoists.
Right.
Well, and even as to that, I remember the one year when it was at the Hacienda, the fest, you know, we had Mark, whatever his name was, from the Western Arts thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that drew in certain people.
Sure.
I mean, you know, not that we could ever co-opt them totally because they're onto the horses and stuff. They have to have a lot of room. But, I mean, I thought that was kind of fun because the guy did have a bunch of, you know, pistols, whips, you know, all this weird, you know, odd stuff that we don't normally offer. And, I mean, people were lined up. And he was the auctioneer that year, and he was great. So, I mean, that's reaching out, too, like unicycles. I mean,
is that something we want to try to do this year? Is it too late already?
Well,
out. We are in the West.
Well, in the unicycles, for sure, I think. I think unicycles,
you know,
for sure.
All I think we need to do is announce that there's going to be a unicycle event or two, and that'll probably draw some.
I don't think it's ever too late.
Yeah.
Especially for something like that. That's something that could work to our benefit. And
I know we have some sports acro people who have expressed some interest in doing some stuff.
And how about those guys that did the bartending, or the bar flair or whatever?
The flair bartending. I'd like to get them active again.
I thought that was, I mean, like I say, it was a fun thing, and I don't know if they ever made any money, but it was a fun thing to watch. I mean, it was just, and again, it broadens that, you know, hey, maybe somebody will come.
Yep. All right. Anything else?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, I think I'm talked out. I'm talked out. Everyone must be. Okay. We do have lots of issues, obviously. I do encourage everybody to try to be pretty active here. We've got to address some of these concerns. I don't know what we'll do with the store in the next couple of weeks, but we'll figure something out. And or we'll close it, and at some point, maybe we will have an emergency meeting or have a vote to approve hiring an accountant or something like that. I am interested, tentative not to make this offer, but I am willing to fly out to Jack if the IJ will pay the flight and see what the books are and try to help him get caught up. But I'm not sure I'm the right person for that, just because I don't think there might be a conflict of interest with the chair looking too closely at the books. At any rate, I do think we need to do something on that scope, and I do think we need to restructure. And I think if we do it right, it's an opportunity to set the organization on solid ground for a while to come.
This is Bob. The one thing I'd say about, you know, somebody flying out, you know, from what it sounds like, we need some sort of, you know, overseeing or seeing what's going on. And, you know, I'm
worried
sure.
about, yeah, specifically, I'm just worried about getting year-end records in order.
And my thing is that, you know, somebody needs to do it, and, you know, somebody who, number one, not so much cost or conflict of interest, can take the time off to do it. You know, it's just,
well, I do probably have the time.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the things, because I certainly couldn't do it. I mean, fine, I'm great, but I mean, I can't take off. So I mean, and I'm not sure how many of the other board members, you know, what their situations are. I know Kim, because teaching, she can't. But I mean, a lot of people, you know, like I say, can't do it. So conflict of interest, I think, has to be put on the back burner to who can readily do it and get it done, because it needs to be done.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not convinced that flying there is really going to do much good.
It might not. I assume somewhere the records actually exist that we need, though.
They are multiple.
We'll talk. Let's not go into that. I just kicked it out there.
I am
willing to do something.
Right. I don't think flying out there is going to have. What we've got to do is find some people to. Get this survey out and see if we can.
Long term, Well, we'll do the survey. We can do that.
There's
for
actually
sure.
some things that can be done, just bookkeeping, and I think we can find people to do that.
Okay. Next meeting is, well, actually, let me do this proper. Any other reports? Okay. There's no continuing business. Any new business? Okay. Next meeting.
I'm embarrassed to say that I don't have a 2006 calendar yet.
Neither do I. Don't feel bad.
Well, fortunately, my computer does.
Oh, that's true. I guess I've got one in there.
Let's see. I don't remember. I thought there was going to be a problem with Wednesdays.
Wednesdays are better for me for the next couple of months.
Were you the guy? Well, you weren't at the last meeting.
I was not at the last meeting.
Somebody last meeting said something about.
This is Kim. I usually have my theater group rehearsals on Wednesdays, but we're off now until February or early March.
It
might have been Jerry or Tim. I'm sorry, Jim.
That's all right. You know, after our festival in February, then I can go back to Thursdays. But right now, there are just too many people that I need to make contact with at every opportunity.
How about January 18th, same time, and then we can change it if it looks like we need to.
Sounds good.
Yep.
And I'll put a caveat here that we may make some decision or do something that needs to be done sooner than that via the web. We're reaching the busy time for us. This is when we need to finalize all of our festival stuff.
Yeah.
And we may do that on the web. And you may be getting calls from me if you don't respond to things on the web, because we'll need to act.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
In that case, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Back at y'all.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, I have to say it. Meeting adjourned. We didn't vote, but the meeting is adjourned at 9:49 Eastern Time.